We've all seen it, right? You know, that classic interrogation scene. The detective leans in, slams their hand on the table, and throws out that line, "You have the right to remain silent." It's like a Hollywood cliche at this point.
Oh, totally.
But how much of that actually reflects what happens in real life, you know, when someone's arrested? Especially if you've ever been in a situation where you're like, "Wait a minute, why didn't they read me my rights?" That's what we're diving into today. Miranda rights, specifically here in Colorado. We've got some really interesting insights from the Colorado Legal Defense Group to help us unpack all of this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a big difference between the Hollywood version and the reality of how Miranda rights actually work.
Okay, so let's rewind a bit. Back to 1966, the year of, well, platform shoes and bell bottoms, right? But it was also a landmark year in the legal world, thanks to the Miranda v. Arizona Supreme Court case. Can you set the stage for us? What made this case so groundbreaking?
Well, this case was a game changer because it established that anyone facing what they call a custodial interrogation has to be informed of their Fifth Amendment rights. That's the right to remain silent, the right to have an attorney, and the understanding that anything you say can and will be used against you in court. And this applies to everyone, whether it's a shoplifting charge or a high-profile case.
So this custodial interrogation thing, it seems pretty crucial. Let's break that down a bit. What does it actually mean to be in custody? Is it just as simple as being under arrest?
Not necessarily. It's a little more nuanced than that. Think of in custody as a situation where a reasonable person wouldn't feel free to just walk away. Obviously, if you're handcuffed and taken to jail, you're definitely in custody. But there are other situations that might feel restrictive but don't actually meet that legal threshold.
Okay, give us some examples of where those lines get blurred.
All right, well, imagine you're pulled over for a speeding ticket.
Happens to the best of us.
You can't just drive off, obviously, but it's a pretty brief interaction and it's focused on that specific issue. Or let's say you're briefly detained by an officer during, I don't know, a street disturbance, maybe for safety reasons. Those situations might not actually qualify as being in custody in the legal sense.
Interesting. So even though you can't just walk away in those moments, it's not necessarily the same as being in custody for Miranda purposes.
Exactly. It really boils down to that sense of being free to leave or not free to leave.
Got it. So we've tackled custody. Now let's talk interrogation. What makes a conversation with law enforcement actually cross that line and become a formal interrogation?
Well, here's a key distinction. If an officer asks for your name or your address, that's just routine, right? But a custodial interrogation is different. It's all about targeted questioning. Those probing questions that are meant to get you to say something that could be used against you later, they're basically trying to build a
It's
case.
like trying to solve a puzzle, finding those missing pieces.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to understand that Miranda rights only apply when you have both custody and the interrogation. It's a two-part thing.
It's not just one or the other, it's got to be both. Okay, that makes sense. Now, speaking of Miranda, let's actually hear those magic words. Refresh everyone's memory. Hit us with the full Miranda warning.
All right, so it goes like this. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you.
Hearing those words out loud, it really emphasizes how important each part is, especially that bit about having the right to an attorney, even if you can't afford one.
Absolutely. That part really helps to make sure that everyone has a fair chance, no matter their financial situation.
Right, because justice shouldn't depend on how much money you have.
Exactly.
Okay, so now let's imagine someone's in this situation, maybe they're feeling panicked or confused, and they decide to answer questions without a lawyer present. Can they waive their Miranda rights?
Yes, you can definitely waive your rights, but it's not a decision to be taken lightly. And it gets a little tricky because there are actually two types of waivers, express and implied. An express waiver is pretty straightforward. It's when you clearly state, either verbally or in writing, that you understand your rights, but you choose to answer questions without an attorney.
And then implied waivers, those sound a bit more complicated.
Yeah, they can be. So imagine you haven't explicitly said, I want a lawyer, but you just start answering questions anyway.
Oh, I see.
That could be interpreted as an implied waiver, but for it to hold up in court, your statements have to have been made knowingly, intelligently, and voluntarily, meaning you fully understood the situation and weren't being pressured or coerced in any way.
So there's a lot of legal gray area with those implied waivers. So for our listeners who might find themselves in this situation, What's the best way to proceed?
Be proactive. Assert your rights. Don't just stay quiet. Actually verbalize your intentions. If you're ever unsure about anything, the best thing to do is clearly and firmly state that you wish to remain silent, any that you want a lawyer present.
So it's about actively exercising your rights, not just hoping that they'll be automatically applied.
Exactly.
Welcome back. We're continuing our deep dive into Miranda rights. We've talked about how you need both custody and de-interrogation for those rights to actually kick in. But let's be real, a lot of people, maybe even some listening right now, might think, well, if I've got nothing to hide, why not just talk to the police?
It's a common thought, for sure. But it can be risky. Even if you're completely innocent, the way you answer questions, even seemingly harmless ones, can be misinterpreted or taken out of context.
It's kind of like that saying, loose lips sink ships. Except in this case, it's more like loose lips might land you in court.
Exactly. And without a lawyer there to advise you, you might say something that could be used against you later. Remember, the police are trained to gather evidence. Anything you say can potentially be used to build a case.
So it's not just about what you say, it's how you say it and the context.
Precisely. And that's where having a lawyer present is so important. They're your advocate, there to protect your rights and ensure the questioning is fair. They can advise you on what to say, what not to say, and when to just stay silent.
So it's not just about having the right to an attorney, it's about having them there with you during the interrogation.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to clearly invoke both your right to remain silent and your right to an attorney. Don't just clam up. Make it crystal clear what you want. Say something like, I'm choosing to remain silent and I want to speak to a lawyer.
So those magic words can make all the difference. Now, what happens if someone starts talking to the police, thinking they can handle it, but then things start to feel overwhelming? Can they change their mind and ask for a lawyer mid-interrogation?
You absolutely can change your mind. You always have that right. The key is to be firm and clear. Just state, I'm invoking my right to remain silent. I want to speak with an attorney. And from that point on, the police can't legally question you until your attorney is present.
That's good to know. It's reassuring to know you're not trapped in that initial decision. But what about the things someone might have said before invoking their rights? Is all that still on the table for the prosecution?
That's where it gets tricky. Anything you say after invoking your rights is generally off limits, but what you said before could potentially still be used against you. It really depends on the specific situation and what the judge decides.
It sounds like navigating Miranda rights can be a bit like walking through a legal minefield.
In some ways, yes. That's why it's so important to remember what we keep saying. Invoke your right to remain silent and request an attorney right from the start. It's the best way to protect yourself from accidentally incriminating yourself.
Right. Better safe than sorry. But let's switch gears for a second. If remaining silent is so important, why do some people waive their Miranda rights and choose to talk to the police?
It's a good question. Researchers have actually studied this quite a bit. There are a few possible explanations. Some people think that cooperating, even if they're innocent, will make them look less suspicious. Others might feel pressured and just want the whole thing to be over. And unfortunately, some people might not fully understand the implications of waiving their rights.
So it's a combination of different factors.
Yeah.
Psychological, situational, maybe even a lack of understanding about the legal system.
Exactly. And that's a big part of why we're having this conversation, to break down Miranda rights and give you the knowledge you need to navigate these situations effectively. Because ultimately, understanding your rights and how to use them is crucial for protecting yourself.
Knowledge is power, especially in legal matters. But let's go back to something you mentioned earlier. You said that the police don't always have to read someone their Miranda rights when they're arrested. That seems to contradict what we see on TV all the time.
It does, and it highlights a very important point. The trigger for Miranda warnings isn't the arrest itself. It's that specific combination of being in custody, and being interrogated. They can absolutely arrest you without reading you your rights, as long as they don't immediately start asking those pointed questions aimed at getting you to confess to something.
So theoretically, someone could be arrested, taken to the police station, and still not have their Miranda rights read to them.
That's exactly right. If they're not being interrogated, those rights might not come into play until later, if at all.
Wow. This is where it gets really interesting. What does that mean for the average person who might not be aware of these legal nuances?
That's a great question, and it raises some serious concerns about public awareness of rights. If you don't know that the police aren't obligated to Mirandize you as soon as they arrest you, you might mistakenly think you're free to talk without consequences, even though you're in a vulnerable position.
So there's this potential gap between what people think they know about their rights and how things actually work in real life.
Exactly. And that gap can have real consequences. People might unknowingly incriminate themselves simply because they weren't aware of the very specific situations that trigger a Miranda warning.
This is eye-opening. It's not just about memorizing those Miranda phrases. It's about understanding the context, the timing, and the potential pitfalls if you're not fully informed. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Miranda rights here in Colorado. It's been pretty enlightening, wouldn't you say? We've learned that those Miranda warnings, those iconic lines we hear all the time on TV, don't always play out exactly the same way in real life. And knowing that difference could be really important, you know, if you're ever in a situation where you're dealing with law enforcement.
Absolutely. And that point you made at the end of part two, that's really crucial. You know, if people don't know what actually triggers a Miranda warning, they could be putting themselves in a tough spot without even knowing it.
Exactly. So let's talk about solutions. Like, how can we fix this? How do we help people understand their rights better when it comes to dealing with the police?
Well, it starts with taking charge of your own knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. Don't just rely on those Hollywood movies or, you know, what your friends, uncles, cousins said about the law. Do your research. Find good, reliable information about your rights and what's expected of you. Websites like the one from the Colorado Legal Defense Group, the one we've been using for this whole deep dive, that's a great place to start. You can also check out legal aid organizations, public defender's offices, even some police departments have resources on this stuff.
So it's about doing your homework, basically.
Yeah.
Not just assuming you know how things work because of what you saw in Law and Order.
Exactly.
And of course, if you're ever in a situation and you're not sure about your rights or, you know, you need some legal guidance, the best thing is always to talk to an attorney.
Right? Huh?
Get some personalized advice, something tailored to your specific situation.
Definitely. Knowing your rights is important, but having a real expert on your side, someone who can make sure those rights are protected and that you're navigating the legal system correctly, that's invaluable.
Okay, so let's wrap this up for our listeners, especially for those who may have been arrested at some point and thought, wait, why didn't they read me my rights? What's the big takeaway here?
I think the most important thing to remember is this. Miranda rights are only required if you're in custody, A&D being interrogated. Just being arrested, that doesn't automatically mean you'll hear those warnings. It's got to be both of those things together.
So you could be arrested and taken to the station, but if they're not asking you specific questions trying to get you to confess, they might not read you your rights right then.
Exactly. And as we've talked about, that's what makes this whole thing so tricky. People might assume their silence can be used against them, even though they haven't been Mirandized. But anything you say before you're told about your rights, that can potentially be used in court.
It's a little scary to think about, but it's good to know. The more we understand about our rights, the better we can protect ourselves.
Sir.
This has been such a great conversation. We've really dug into the details of Miranda rights, gone way beyond those simple scenarios you see on TV. We covered the history, what it means to be in custody, what counts as interrogation, the risks of waiving your rights, and why having an attorney present is so important. But as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from all of this?
You know, if there's one golden rule, it's this. When in doubt, stay silent and ask for a lawyer. Those are your most powerful tools, no matter what. And they can really make all the difference.